One of the early teachings I remember when coming into the church was that God is not against prosperity and wealth. I was surprised to learn it's not wrong to be rich with physical things in this life. In fact, God is the giver of every good thing, including wealth and prosperity. After leaving one of the Protestant churches, this was a new understanding for me, which I had no problem in accepting. Many of God's laws create wealth. So often, poverty is the result of transgressing the laws of God that would bring wealth. I was very happy to learn that God actually wants people to prosper. Whenever ancient Israel was blessed by God, it included wealth and prosperity. Many men of God were blessed with wealth, and sometimes great wealth. For example, Abraham, he was very wealthy with much silver and gold. Then there was Job. He was greatly blessed by God, more so at the end than at the beginning. Then there was David. He was not a poor man. We see that by his vast personal contribution to the temple building before his death. And then came King Solomon. No one could equal his vast wealth and possessions. While it did not make him happy, it does show it was God's will for him to be blessed at that time in the history of Israel. In more recent years came the fabulous wealth and blessings poured out bestowed upon the birthright peoples of Ephraim and Manasseh. America being the wealthiest nation ever to exist, and Great Britain, the wealthiest and greatest empire of recent times. All this was given by God. So the title of this message is Godly Wealth. Godly Wealth. That's the title. The purpose to show that we don't have to leave it all behind when we go. Again, when I began to attend church, another big surprise was that we are blessed through tithing. Tithing of itself does not make us wealthy. It makes us less wealthy. Did you know that? For example, if we give 10% of our money to the church, we are 10% less wealthy. Being less wealthy is not a blessing. So how are we blessed? Through tithing. We are blessed because God blesses the tithe payer. He supernaturally causes blessings to come into our life. We read in Malachi 3 that God will bless the tithe payer and open the windows of heaven to bless us. And we should understand that the first tithe is not our money. It belongs to God. So God will bless us for giving him that which is already his. I don't know of another person who would do that. Those men who had great wealth and money all lost it. How do we know that? Because they all left it behind when they died. They left their wealth behind when they went. So what do we learn from that? We learn it's not a good idea to set your heart on making lots of money, only to leave it all behind when you go. But what's the alternative? Well, that's what we are coming to. That's what we will look at. That is what we'll find out. You see, there is an alternative investment where we don't leave it all behind when we go. Let's go to the first scripture in Matthew 6. Matthew 6. One of the very basic rules of investment that any responsible advisor would give is that you don't put all your money, all your investment, into one place. Wise words. Here are the words of Jesus, verse 19, Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It is inevitable that we will have some investment here on the earth. If we have any money at all, we have to put it somewhere. And as we saw, God does bless his people with wealth and possessions. But the material wealth of this life is not where our heart must be. If the only treasure we have is here on the earth, we will lose everything. We will leave it all behind when we go. God has made it possible for us to invest in a fund that we will not leave behind when we go. So what fund could that be? And how do we invest in it? Well, that's what we are coming to. Before that, let's consider the ways of this world. Over the years, I've read a number of self-help books on how to be wealthy. They basically agree on one point, which is this. Gaining wealth must be the main goal of your life. It must become your all-consuming passion. It must be the most important priority that you live for. In many cases, money is their God. They don't actually say that. But in effect, in reality, that's what it is. So often, the real motive is covetousness, greediness, always wanting more, never having enough, and then, on departing this life, they leave it all behind when they go. Leave it all behind and have nothing more to look forward to. That's not what we want, and that's not what God wants for us. There is another alternative investment. During his ministry, Jesus gave a parable describing a person who lived only for selfish gain in this life. He laid up no treasure for himself in heaven and was not rich towards God. Let's go next to Luke 12. Luke 12, and we will see this parable. Jesus called this person a fool. See if you can identify why. Why this person was foolish. Let's read verse 16, Luke 12, verse 16. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no room to bestow my crops? So he said within himself, I will pull down my barns and build greater and there I will store all my crops and my goods. Is anything wrong with that? Well, not really. If he had not room to store his goods that he had been blessed with, it is sensible to build greater barns. That was not the real problem. But let's read on, verse 19. And I will say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We now see the real motive was total selfishness. He was totally focused on this life and what he could get for himself. There was no thought of sharing what he had with others, no thought of helping the poor, no thought of paying tithes, no thought of using what he had to serve others. This man was a fool because he laid up no treasure for himself in heaven and was not rich towards God. He didn't know that he had reached the end of his life and was about to leave it all behind when he went. Let's read verse 20, Luke 12, verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will be those things which you have provided? Now verse 21. So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This, brethren, is a sobering scripture. We do not know when the end will come for us. If we have not laid up treasure in heaven, when the final curtains falls, we will have no treasure to look forward to. The opportunity will have gone. All that we have will be left behind when we go. It's not wrong to desire prosperity in this life. God enjoys blessing us. So how are we different from this world? Well, let's go to Proverbs 10 for the next scripture. Proverbs 10. How are we different from this world? Well, first of all, it must not become our main goal. Prosperity and wealth must not become the main goal in our life. It must never become the all-consuming passion. Our prosperity must be seen as a byproduct of serving God. In other words, we live a godly way of life and rely on God to bless us. That's the difference. Do we see the difference? Proverbs 10, verse 22 shows this. Verse 22. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. That's what we want. That's what God wants to give us. It is God who opens the windows of heaven to bless us. It is God who works out circumstances by which we are blessed and prospered. So we are different from the world in this way. Our main focus is different. Our priorities are different. We put God first. We pay his tithe. We trust him to bless us. And God will. He will bless us in his own time and in his own way. That's how we are different from this world. But what about our future in the next life? When this life has passed away, what treasure will we have? We have a great opportunity to invest in God's special fund, his super fund, now, in this life. It will provide great rewards and benefits for all eternity. Let's go to the final scripture in Deuteronomy 16. Deuteronomy 16. This superfund provides eternal rewards. But how do we make an investment? Certainly the offering that we make is one way to make an investment, and it is commanded. Notice verse 16. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the feast of unleavened bread, at the feast of weeks, and at the feast of tabernacles. That's where we are now. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed, meaning we give an offering. We are to give within our ability. Verse 17, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The offering is an opportunity to be rich towards God, but not to neglect important family responsibilities. Our investment into this superfund was mentioned by Jesus when he said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Our investment into God's superfund includes a lot more than offering on a holy day. It involves our entire calling, a lifetime of dedicated service to God, wherever and in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. All our good works, praying for one another, is a good work. It is just one way to make a valuable investment. Out of God's superfund, we will be rewarded. The reward is according to our works. So what reward can we expect? We will be priests and kings, ruling with Christ in the world tomorrow, with glory, honor, blessings for all eternity. It's important to put this life into perspective. Here's an illustration. Those who lay up for themselves treasures in this life only lay up treasure for a pinprick of time. That's all this life is. After that, they lose everything and leave it all behind when they go. Those who lay up for themselves treasures in heaven gain an eternal reward. They lose nothing. We do not know, we do not want to hear Jesus say those words to us, you fool. Rather, we want to hear those wonderful words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into the great eternal reward. That means we will not leave it all behind when we go.